Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Big one tonight at TD Garden. Celtics, Golden State Warriors. It's a big game, I think, for the league right now anyway, because these are two of the five good teams in the entire NBA at this point. And there's also that little bit of business, which I'm upset that Jaylen Brown's not playing. I know he's got a hip flexor, but that's too bad. I'd like to see him out there as part of the revenge tour. Jaylen Brown, I mean, listen, if you really think about it, and I don't know that this necessarily goes back to Steve Kerr, but if you're talking about a revenge tour, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, per the Olympics, Jaylen Brown's got a much bigger beef here than I think Jason Tatum does. Jason Tatum made the team. Jason Tatum played most of the games. Only the two
Serbia
games.
And then was embarrassed by Steve Kerr.
Where Steve Kerr benched him, and that's true, but he was on the team, and he did play, and he wasn't very good, by the way, when he did play. Jaylen Brown got shut out. And now that may not have been fully Steve Kerr's decision. Probably wasn't. I think he had something to do with it, but I think it was Grant Hill and Nike and everybody else sort of all, not to be into conspiracies here, but I do think there was something to that for sure.
Some believe Tatum had something to do with it.
I don't think Tatum had anything to do with it.
By some, I mean me.
You do. I think Jason Tatum is going to have a good game tonight. You think he's going to have a great game tonight?
I do. I think this is a book it for 30-plus. I think he will have a great shooting night. I think we will not be talking about hitches. We will not be talking about poor shooting from behind the arc. I do think he has some showmanship to him, especially, and this is going to sound like a shot, probably is, showmanship in games that aren't critical, which yeah. I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Andy, if you think he shows up for big games, then how come you question him in the playoffs and he has some game seven, like different things you question? Well, I think sometimes he feels the pressure in those, but like, you know, all-star games, matchups with certain players, primetime games, which aren't truly important games, I think he shows up and shows out. And I think this is a show up or show out. And I think this is an opportunity. He failed in the matchup with Curry a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And not that this is a rematch, because
no,
a game in November and a finals, not the same.
And they played each other last year and years before. Right. And the Celtics mostly beat them.
So but yeah, this is an opportunity to continue to elevate your stature, right? And you don't even have your guy JB to get in the way. Like, oh, man. He started hot. He hit his first six shots. Is this going to be a JB game and I'm going to kind of play second fiddle? No. No JB tonight. So it's all you against Steph Curry and the Warriors and your guy Steve Kerr. And I think this is just set up the home crowd. I'm still interested to see how the crowd handles this.
Yeah.
Because we talked a little bit about it. You don't have the Kyrie touches the ball, everybody boos.
Mm-hmm.
He's a coach.
Right.
So do we boo when he stands up, if he sits down, like the opening?
There's going to be chants, I think. There'll just be chants throughout the game directed at him, I would imagine. I'm not saying anything bad. You know, don't be
yeah, do you have any creative ones?
I do not. But I'd say that, in general, that's what you're going to see. And this is probably going to be the most vitriol, maybe other than Grant Williams when you see him at the end of the season, but this is going to be the most vitriol you probably see against any opponent, right? Kyrie, I feel like that's cooled
that's
off kinda, a lot.
Yeah, you've
that's
had
almost,
your time.
That's almost dead, really. Yeah. I mean, the Kyrie thing is basically over. Steve Kerr is public enemy number one to the Celtics right now, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right. And he's not likable, as my buddy Adam Jones said in the midday show, and I completely agree. There's a smarminess to him. There's also
There's some smarm.
Yeah. A political angle as well. And interestingly, we are the day after the election, the first day the NBA's playing after the election. His candidate, his party, did not succeed, right? Kind of got slapped around a little bit. How does he handle that in terms of his comments?
She lost the way teams play the Celtics lose.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they don't even, the fourth quarter, they're benching all their starters. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's rolling in. Everybody's, yeah, we can
So she was the Knicks.
She was the Knicks.
Because she thought she was going to win. She thought she had been. She was ready for this matchup, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to send a message.
Yeah.
And that message got sent, baby.
It did. It certainly did.
In a different way. I wonder if that, because I do think there's a chance he's going to have some comments about bigger picture items, because he and Popovich love to do that.
If they get blown out by 45 points, he's going to come out after the game and be like, guys, how can we think about basketball at a time like
right.
this?
We're really talking about basketball.
If they win, he'll take credit for it, and he'll say, yeah, right. you know, the Celtics are good, but we know how to beat the Celtics, blah, blah, whatever he's going to say. If they get blown out, I guarantee you there will be a pivot to the real world.
We hear those Tatum comments. Do you like the delivery?
No.
Does it?
It puts me to sleep.
We're both loudmouths.
Yeah.
We make a living talking. We both tend to probably err on the side of being too hyped up and yelling a little too much. That's the
opposite. People have said that about both of us.
Yes. And that's the opposite.
Right.
That's a guy. Okay. We've talked for months about Steve Kerr and the Olympics and the slight and the payback and the motivation.
Yeah, it's a basketball game. Like,
can you play the beginning of that clip against this? Because it's funny. They ask him, like, are you excited to take on the Warriors? And the first thing he talks about is, yeah, you know, I'm friends with Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Like, no.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we playing against Steph Curry and somebody that I'm close with, and obviously I'm close with Draymond Green, so.
Cool.
Awesome.
Awesome. So you're all friends. That's great.
The coach didn't play you on an international stage, kind of embarrassed you. Other players were mad for you. JB told Stephen A. he was mad for you that you didn't play.
Right. And I'm not expecting him to be like Draymond Green out there or anything and play with a real edge and get in people's faces and woof and, you know.
Oh, but was that Mamba mentality?
Stuff like that? No, it wasn't anything.
Isn't this an extension of Mamba mentality? Isn't Jason Tatum supposed to be a Kobe acolyte or whatever?
And this is not a perceived slight. This is a real slight.
That feel like Mamba?
Did you feel
the Mamba mentality in that?
I did not. But I don't care.
Somber.
I don't care.
The somber mentality. That's not bad.
Pretty good.
Well done, Stiz.
I don't care if I get that in an interview, right? Like, I'd like to. Maybe it'd be a little more interesting if he was like that. But if he plays like that, if he goes out there and plays like Kobe tonight, then that's fine. That's all that matters.
Does he usually, like,
I doubt it.
Even that, I have a feeling. I don't know.
So now you don't think he's going to have a good game?
No, I think he's going to have a good game.
Okay.
But I don't know that there's going to be. Every once in a while, he has the dunk and the flex and the scream, whatever he does. Mm-hmm. But even that is not all that frequent.
No.
Right? Like, he does a little kiss.
Mm.
He yells the most when he's bitching about a foul.
Right.
That's when he's the most vocal on a basketball court. Right? Like, he tends to, I think, believe that just let your play do the speaking, which, in a certain sense, is admirable.
Yeah.
But he's also in the entertainment business, and this is a perfect opportunity to entertain. Your home fans are thirsting for, they're going to be rabid. They're going to be doing their part. They're thirsting for you to throw them a little something, right? Give them something to work with. Give them something to ignite them even higher. And other than playing well, I think he will definitely hit some threes and celebrate them. I don't know that he's going to give them that moment. And it's hard to do. He can't dunk on Kerr. He can't shoot in Kerr's face.
Right. Like,
what can he do to Kerr?
I know. You can't, like, give him chin music or something. Like, you can't give him one up.
Oh, I missed this pass, and I threw it at your head or something. Yeah. Like, you can't
check him into the boards.
Right.
You can't do any of that.
There's
stuff.
No way for him to actually interact with Steve Kerr on a basketball court that wouldn't be, you know, 15-game suspension, if he attacks
maybe.
Him.
I mean, he could hit a shot, walk down, you know, point at him, have a little conversation. You can talk. Maybe you see coaches and talk to players sometimes on the court. Ime Udoka and LeBron were going at it that one time, right?
You think that's
going
to happen? This isn't LeBron or Ime Udoka.
I could see Tatum maybe saying something.
I don't really buy it. I think he's going to try to let his 30-something points and a cruise to victory do the talking for him.
Yeah.
That's how I look at
it. I'd imagine. And that's generally how he handles these things. So it wouldn't surprise me really at all. The NBA right now, just real quick before we get to the break here. As I mentioned, there's only 5 teams in the NBA right now who have more than 4 wins after 7-8 games. Every other team in the league basically is a 4-3, 3-3, 3-5, or worse, except for 5 teams. Those teams are the Celtics, the undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers, the undefeated Thunder, the Warriors, and the Phoenix Suns. That's it. That's the whole 5. And that's weird to me. We had a whole conversation yesterday about the NFL and how there's all these terrible 2-win teams, and that's a third of the league, and most teams are under 500 and everything else. It seems like the NBA, early on here anyway, is starting off that way too. A lot of mediocrity here, not a lot of teams separating, except for the Celtics, who we consider good. All 5 of those teams I consider to be pretty good. I didn't think Cleveland would be undefeated after 8. But the rest of them, you know, that's about where I'd expect them to be. Bunch of teams underachieving so far.
Absolutely, and circumstantially, I guess, you know, you can put the Sixers with injuries to Embiid and now suspension to Embiid. I don't know what you want to pony things up to in Milwaukee for why they're a one-win basketball team. And I believe lost six in a row, right? They won their first game, and it's six straight losses since. I don't really have an explanation for that. I'm sure some people would like to take pot shots at Doc Rivers and his coaching ability. Maybe that's some of it. I think
Kamala recorded a video with Doc Rivers.
Really?
That's how we should have known she was going to lose, right? I mean,
I knew it was over when Fat Joe endorsed her the other night.
Yes. Fat Joe's 0-2. He was the Yankees and then Kamala.
Cursed.
Yeah,
he's cursed.
Yeah, you don't want the Fat Joe endorsement.
Nope, I knew it. I knew. I said so on Twitter.
Didn't even think of that. But yeah, the Doc Rivers thing. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's
tough.
Bringing him into the inner circle when you're trying to win something. I don't know about that anymore.
Not exactly the Midas touch or the right move to go there. But no, I don't have necessarily an explanation for the mediocrity of football or basketball. Like, you know, they're two different sports, first of all. You know, is
Wait a minute. Two different sports.
What?
It was just another two different sports.
Mocking my obvious.
I was a little bit, yes.
Captain Obvious. No, but like, I don't know. Is it generational? Are we seeing, like, I don't think. I think it's too early to make jumps like that. We do that all the time in this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we thought that Chiefs-Rams game was, like, the way football was going to be played? It was 55, 52, 54,
51. Like
2
years
51.
Ago, 3 years ago?
Oh, my God, the NFL's over. What are they going to do to change the score? Mm-hmm. And, like, now we haven't seen anything like that since.
That game was awesome. Oh, I love that game.
And the NFL probably thought so, too, but not sustainable.
No, not sustainable.
Nobody's going to do that. We get happy, like, the Lions put up 50, but it's beating the hell out of the Titans.
Right.
It's not, you know, some shootout game. They were mocking them when they're scoring 50. But I don't think there's anything more than this is just like, oh, teams are off to a slow start. You know, I have more belief in the NFL, like my theories on young coaches, not enough coaches, not enough quarterbacks, young coaches, young quarterbacks, but... Are teams in the NBA suddenly younger? Well, it's certainly not Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
No, definitely not.
That's not an argument. And there's plenty of young teams that are good. OKC is a building young team, right? Like, there's teams that are, you know, riding young talent to success.
So. And the league's evolving. I mean, different things are more successful now. Different styles of coaching, different styles of offense, different styles of defense. Like, all of that, I think, is evolving in the league right now.
Is there a three-point – did you do a deeper dive? Is there any three-point shooting trend here that the teams that are good are the ones that are hitting all their threes?
I actually do have some data on that. We'll get to that with some thoughts here on the New England Patriots. The trade deadline has come and gone. The Patriots stood pat, which I know is the most unpopular option on the poll I put up yesterday, a poll you can trust, by the way. And that leads me to think that maybe there's a bit of a disconnect between Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf. I base that off of some things that Mayo said this morning. We'll get to all of that and your phone calls right after this.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This tells you what's trending. Jerod Mayo on the trade deadline. Interesting answer to that question. Because the Patriots were criticized, I'd say, for the Uche trade. They didn't get much back for that, right? I don't think anybody looked at that and said, wow, the Patriots really, really cleaned up in that Uche trade.
Mm-hmm.
They got a 6th-round pick. Asked about why no trades happened, Mayo says, not sure. Not sure. I mean, look, you know, it's about value, thinking about the present, trying to get better in the future. But the answer was, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why we didn't add at the deadline. As in, I would have liked to. That would have been fine. I would have liked to have flushed out some of the crap in this locker room. That would have been, you know, maybe a good thing here for me as the head coach, trying to get these guys all to pull in the same direction. Maybe getting rid of a couple of these me-first players who don't want to be here, which I think there's at least, you know, 2 or 3 who have openly said that.
And why are they still here?
Good question.
Like, he did threaten later. He was asked about the wide receiver position. He said, you know, in addition by subtraction could be a thing.
Yeah.
And, okay, so we're
don't you do that at the deadline?
Well, no. I mean, yes.
Unless no one wants them, which
but
is
you
really
didn't.
What happened.
Yeah. So are you threatening to cut them? And if so, why not just cut? Like, what are you waiting for? Like, if you're willing to make that comment publicly after the trade deadline. So now you're just flat out threatening to cut people because that's the only way you can subtract and add to your team in that way. And you do have seven receivers and there's not enough reps to go around and blah, 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 blah. So why are they still here? Why is he still here? And I don't know if it's Osborne, Thornton, both, one of the two. Pick, you know, dealer's choice, whatever.
I can buy that no one wanted Tyquan Thornton. I can buy that there was no interest in him.
Sure.
There was reported interest in K.J. Osborne. The Chargers were into K.J. Osborne. And K.J. Osborne, by the way, well, according to reports.
Yeah, and sometimes those reports come from agents that are trying to drum up something.
Entirely possible.
And maybe the real agent, not the one he posted the screen image from. His buddy, like, you're the greatest. Oh, the Chargers love you. I think they'll trade for you. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah. And maybe it was all BS. You could be right about that. Fine. But K.J. Osborne has had a modicum of success elsewhere with Minnesota. Like, he's been useless here, but he hasn't been useless his whole career.
Right.
Like, he's had a couple of, you know, flashes where he looked like he could be a competent wide receiver in the NFL. And listen, it's not working out here, obviously. He does have that one touchdown. He had that touchdown that got called back in the preseason, which I like too. You remember that?
Yep.
He was wide open. There was nobody near him. He like moonwalked into the end zone, and the whole thing got called back for some penalty or something.
I think it was
reason.
One of those stupid illegal formation when the head wasn't on the hip of the center that they were calling.
Yeah, that was the Hockey League game. Right, right, right. Yeah, against the Eagles, I want to say. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And that was unfortunate. Either way, he's not been really all that useful for you, and he's openly said, you know, do you want to get traded? Yeah, it's a layup.
And he doesn't have a future
or alley-oop or whatever he said. And there's no fear. That's the other thing. There's no fear. He's not part of the process. He's not someone that Drake May is going to be upset if you take him away. He's not Jacoby Myers even. He's none of those things.
No, and to me, there's more value on giving whatever reps he's going to get to Baker or Polk. And they may suck. I'm not saying they'll be productive reps, but if they suck, those are productive reps because I know they suck and I'm done with these guys, right? Like, you don't want any uncertainty on those guys moving forward if you're going to try to figure out how the hell you're going to retool this wide receiver depth chart. Mm-hmm. So I just found that comment interesting to say addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
After the trade deadline. So that only means I'm cutting you. That means I just. So you have guys in your locker room you flat out don't want on your team. Why? Is that because you have no say in the roster?
Could be. Because
that's how I took it. And that's how I took this whole thing. I also took the I don't know with, I don't know, ask the guy who decides the roster things. I got nothing to do with that.
Couldn't tell you.
That's
not,
Elliot.
Not my department.
Right. Yeah. Don't blame me for what these idiots say, right?
Right, exactly.
Kind of thing.
Wiener Weiner line.
Right. That's how I took it as like a legitimate answer. I don't know. I'm thinking the same thing. Why didn't we do it? Ask the guy who didn't do it. Just like ask him why K.J. Osborne's still here. I don't want him in my locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I want addition by subtraction. But I don't get to make those decisions.
They have a lot of seventh-round picks in the draft. They have like 4 7th-round
Ooh.
Picks, don't they?
Is
the only reason
better,
I ask.
What's better, a lot of seventh-round picks or having the high waiver priority that they had entering the season that they were so excited about?
I would say the waiver priority is maybe a little bit better because at least you got established players.
You know what both are?
Both, they're nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
They're both
nothing.
Jack squat.
They are plain, generic potato chips. You ever get those like boxed lunches and it doesn't even have flavored brand-name potato chips? It just has. It just says like chips on a white bag, and you open them and they are awful.
Yeah,
that's what those things
like
are.
At the hospital or something.
Yes,
like you just get the chips.
Yes,
Ooh,
chips.
The only reason I even bring that up though, the seventh round picks, is because you attach that to KJ, you attach a seventh to KJ Osborne or Thornton or really anybody, and do a pick swap, and then you got your addition by subtraction right there. What the hell do you need the seventh round pick for? Maybe you'll get one back. Like, you know, like those are the type of moves I would have been okay with. You know, all right, seventh round pick swap, and we get a flyer on Osborne. We give up nothing, and here he is. And you get rid of him for free, and that's it. You get a seventh round pick back. Whatever it is that you end
who
up actually
KJ
agreeing
Osborne?
On. KJ Osborne was an Elliott Wolf signing.
Mm. Who drafted Josh Uche?
That would be Bill Belichick.
You think that matters?
In the sense of,
I don't know,
how they're regarded by the rest
like,
of the league.
Oh, I'm going to admit that I blew this signing. I was very particular with my signings this offseason.
I see what you're saying. Okay, sorry. From Wolf's perspective,
yeah.
He's trading the Bill guys. Well, no, I don't think so because he signed all the Bill guys. He re-signed all the Bill guys. But if he was worried about that, then he would have moved on from those guys, wouldn't he?
No. But the perception is now, this is just you screwing up. You were particular with your signings. One of the few signings you made on your offense was KJ Osborne,
right.
And he's been a train wreck disaster that you had to trade shortly thereafter. I just wonder if he's hoping it's salvageable. I wonder if that's the divide between the coach and the GM. No, I signed this guy. He's good enough to help this football team. Help this football team. You play him. And Mayo may want no part of him. I mean, I may be reading way too much into this, but I think there's a possibility. This is very common. This is the one thing we never lived for years. The divide between the GM and the coach. Guys looking out for their players or protecting their decisions or placing blame on the other. We did it from afar, right?
Mm-hmm.
We debated forever.
Bill the coach is killing Bill the GM. Right. Well, the other way around, but yes.
Now we actually have a debate. Now we have two different people in those roles with very sort of divided roles and responsibilities that we can pit against each other. That, hell, they may be pitting against each other within those walls. There's no silos, but there's still walls, and there still can be divides within Gillette Stadium.
So do you think there's trouble in paradise? I mean, is that
I think there has to be. How could there not be? How could there not be?
Because they're all in it together, and they knew it wasn't going to be a good year, and they're all sort of aware of that and rowing the same boat. I don't know. I mean, that's
so,
not...
The perception was that Elliot Wolf hired Alex Van Pelt, correct?
Yeah.
Has that been a good offensive fit, the scheme, the offense good?
No.
Okay. So Elliot Wolf was the guy with the say in the roster. So Jalen Polk, he drafted. Has that been good?
No.
Chukwu Okorafor, he signed. Has that been good?
No. None of his moves have been good except for Drake May. We can just skip right to the end of this.
Thank you, Your Honor. Jury will acknowledge it. Okay. if you're the coach who entrusted the GM or had to entrust the GM. Maybe it was thrust upon you by higher powers.
Gross.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's 5 o'clock hour. He gets creepy.
We're there.
Don't you think it's normal to question, like basically the questions I'm having about trusting Elliot Wolf with major roster decisions, money, and draft picks, isn't it fair that the head coach is having those same decisions?
Yeah.
And worse yet, he may want guys out that are not being removed, that he thinks are addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm. He voiced it publicly today. He said the quiet part out loud. Is that what the kids say on Twitter
yes.
or whatever? He said the quiet part out loud. He wants him gone. He doesn't want him on his team, but he doesn't get to make that decision. Elliot Wolf does.
Right.
And maybe Elliot Wolf isn't, because that's why he would also answer in the same press conference, why didn't you guys do anything?
I don't know.
Because I want to do something.
No idea.
But that guy decides not to do something.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think there's something to the fact that Elliot Wolf did have something to do with hiring Alex Van Pelt. He had nothing to do with hiring Gerard Mayo.
Correct.
He is your general manager. He is your personnel
marriage.
Guy. Generally, you hire the GM and he hires the coach. And that's the way it works.
Or at least has a say.
Yeah, maybe not hires him completely. Like, the owner still does it. But they do it sort of together. It's a collaborative effort. Who do you think you can work with? Who do you know?
Right.
Who do you like the staff of? Who do you think is going to be able to coach the players that you like? All that stuff. None of that happened here. None of that happened at all. They knew Gerard Mayo, so they hired him. Elliot Wolf was already here, and they didn't want to go outside, find someone they're unfamiliar with who's going to make suggestions that they don't already rubber stamp. Like, you know what I mean? It just seems like it was all so insulated. The entire offseason was so insulated. It was all just players we know, coaches we know. We have to know everything. It has to be all guys that we already have some sort of pre-existing relationship with, or someone like Van Pelt, who's someone's got to come in here and run the offense and no one else wants to do it. And that's basically what you have there. And that's, again, I mean, not to circle back to this every single time, but just such a rotten environment and a rotten structure to try and bring along a rookie quarterback.
But I don't know if it was rotten from the beginning. I actually think Gerard Mayo was went into this eyes wide open or enthusiastically or mm-hmm. believing. The problem is he, like us, now has 6 months or so of track record to go by, and he's looking at it and he's saying, everybody you brought in stinks.
Yeah.
Everybody you drafted and signed stinks. Everybody that wasn't obvious after the quarterback is not helping me. In fact, some of them may be undercutting what I'm trying to do mm-hmm. and maybe have undercut me before, right? Like, they probably lucked out that Chukwu Okorafor just left.
Yeah.
Because that probably could have gotten uglier. That probably could have been a problem that they would have then had to remove themselves. They were probably fortunate the way that played out. But KJ Osborne's been a problem. And I think there's been every indication that the coaching staff, or at least Gerard Mayo, wants him gone. And it's weird. He wants to be gone.
Yeah.
The coaches want him gone, and yet he's not gone. Who would decide he's not gone then? Elliot Wolf.
Yep.
So 617 accurately assesses. Isn't that a big problem going forward? Yes, it is. If you have that big a divide between the head coach and the guy who's running the roster to the point where they couldn't make it through their first year when they knew it was going to suck, they even went in with a plan that I think predicted suck. Like, they were expecting suck. They were okay with suck.
Yep.
And yet the divide, I think, is growing. And that is definitely a problem going forward.
Let me ask you this. If after the trade deadline this year with the Red Sox, we asked Alex Cora, how come you didn't trade for this, this, and this? I know they made trades, so it's a little different. They didn't do anything here. But if we said, how come you didn't actually get a right-handed power bat? How come you didn't get a frontline starter? How come you didn't get better relievers? And he said, I'm not sure. Wouldn't we all be like, whoa, okay, clearly the message is divided here. They're not all on message. And with Bill, it's only one message, so it was easier to keep it that way. But wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think they would say, all right, when discussing the trade deadline, we're going to, this is the message, is that we weren't interested. We didn't get a deal that we liked. Whatever, marching orders, company line, all that stuff. You know, it's not hard to do. All other teams do it. And instead, what the right hand's out here not making any moves, and the left hand's over here like, I don't know why the right hand's not doing anything. And that's not how you run a team. I'm sorry. Just you have to be more on the same page, especially when it's your first year together.
Yes.
You know, if it's like 10 years and you're sniping at each other because you're sick of each other, like Brady and Bill or something, with 20 years together, finally they're fed up with it. This is their first year working together, and they have no idea what the other one's doing. I'm not sure. What do you mean you're not sure? They didn't make moves at the deadline because they didn't want or whatever. You have to have some kind of company line.
Right.
He has nothing.
Well, he also hasn't been good at the media part.
No, he hasn't.
That's part of it, too. The divide, Alex Cora is pretty good at it. He'll answer. Sometimes he'll answer so well that he kind of convinces you of things that you know aren't true or you don't really believe, but you're like, wow, that was a good answer. He really kind of swayed me. Mayo hasn't been able to do that. I do think he's been told to talk less. I just think he's trended in that direction. It's been a long time since he's really circled back around to re-answer a question or expand upon a point or something he made. And he has said, I don't know, a lot lately. I'm not sure. Remember that in London? There were at least three or four answers where he said,
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I don't know if somebody has told him it's okay to say you're not sure. Like, better to say I'm not sure than to have a bad answer that people are going to pick apart.
I forget what those were. And I think in some cases it's not as bad. But when it's, why did the team do this? I'm not sure.
Well, especially when it's a,
like, who's going to start at right time? I'm not sure yet. You know, I don't know yet.
Right.
We'll decide what's best for the team. But when it's the trade deadline, it's, you guys didn't make any moves. What happened? Why didn't you make a move? I'm not sure.
Right. And it's
you should be sure. You're the coach.
And supposedly it's a collaborative and you're working hand in hand with Elliot. You would have thought you guys would have had a meeting. Like, what went wrong? What went south? You know, what were we planning going in? What didn't come to fruition? You didn't have any. I don't know. Yeah, I probably should have asked. I'll get back to you guys. I'll ask and find out for you tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be fine. By the way, Drake May up for a very prestigious award, especially if you are a Pepsi Zero drinker. He is up for the Pepsi Rookie of the Week, which, I mean, does it get more prestigious than that? I'm not sure that it does. There's Rookie of the Year, and then there's Pepsi Zero Rookie of the Week, and he is up for it this week alongside Jaden Daniels, who basically wins this thing every single week. This is in conjunction with the NFL, by the way.
Yes.
It's like an NFL.com thing.
You can vote, right? It's fan.
Yes, anybody can vote for it. Drake May is up against Daniels, who wins this most weeks. Ray Davis, who's that big running back in Buffalo. Rome Odunze, the wide receiver in Chicago, who they'll see this weekend. Jatavion Sanders, who's a wide receiver in Carolina. And Cameron Kitchens, a defensive back for the Rams, who had a huge game. He had two picks, fumble recovery, had a 103-yard interception return for a touchdown. He was awesome. Daniels had a good game. They beat the Giants. Dunze had a pretty good game. Drake May had a pretty good game. Like, you look at the stats, and if for an award like this, I don't think he's going to win it, but it got me sort of wondering, like, and we asked Schefter about this too. He didn't have much to say about it, but in terms of the way that Drake May is being regarded around the rest of the league in three starts, people like the attitude, I think, and I think people like the raw tools, right? His ability, you know, his arm strength, his running ability. Like, he's a good athlete, big, tall kid, can throw on the run and all that stuff. But do they know if he can put it all together yet? Do they know, is he going to be someone that's wowing you week in and week out, even if it's just among the rookies? Like, this is what we're talking about. He's not going to be the AFC player of the week anytime soon. Do you think that Drake May, before the season's over, will capture a Pepsi Zero or Pepsi Max, whatever it is, Rookie of the Week award. Do you think that he will?
I am going to say yes.
Really?
If he doesn't, we're storming the Pepsi factory.
Yes.
Yeah. Why not?
With our Drake May flags.
I mean, damn right.
I did my same game parlay for our friends at FanDuel, and I did a Drake May anytime touchdown and over on both his rushing and passing yards. So I'm looking for one of those to hit at some point. And yeah. I feel like if he does all those things, if he scores a touchdown and hits over on rushing and passing, that's a week where he might win the Pepsi Rookie of the Week. And
got to limit those turnovers, though.
He does need to limit those turnovers. He also needs help from some of his friends, his little Patriot friends out there as they're trying to make plays. But, yeah, he's been pretty good. I mean, the game in London was the 10-0, right? He got out to the hot start, and then it was 22-10, and then things kind of fell apart. But I think with somebody that is able to make the plays that he makes with his feet and with his arm, you got a good chance to win some of these awards.
We will see. We're halfway through the season. He's made 3 starts. He's up for it this week. I don't know if he was ever up for it any of the other weeks, was he?
He was. I want to say his second start. I don't know. This is the second time he's been up for it.
Well, either way, I can tell you he probably lost to Jaden Daniels if he was ever up to it before, because Daniels has won every week except 2, Keon Coleman in week 7 and Braylon Allen, that very, very young running back on the New York Jets, won in week 2, and that's it. It's been Daniels every other week. He's been the guy. Like, when it comes to all the rookies, he's probably going to be Rookie of the Year. He's probably going to be a Pro Bowler.
Probably.
We're talking about a very, very
he's
strong.
He's the hot quarterback.
Maybe even historic rookie season.
Are you paying attention to the second-year hot quarterback who's come back to the pack a little bit? And
Stroud.
CJ Stroud?
Yes.
Who's been sacked 34 times or something midway through the season. And some of those have been on him. And I know their line hasn't been good, but he's kind of been running into it's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to, like you just said, do we know exactly what Drake May? No, I don't know exactly what CJ Stroud is.
Mm-hmm.
You start to know exactly who Josh Allen is. You start to know, you know who Patrick Mahomes is. Although even his numbers aren't what you think Patrick Mahomes traditionally would be.
Mahomes' numbers this year stink.
Right.
Yeah.
There's only one that matters, though.
It's true.
It's the zero in the loss column.
By the way, C.J. Stroud this season is on pace for 4,040 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions.
And how many sacks?
That would be, I don't know, I don't see the sacks, but he's getting sacked a lot. You're right about that.
Yeah.
I was just saying in terms of compared to last year.
Right.
And
he's good. I think he's a good quarterback.
The Texans are a good team.
Very comfortable saying he's a good NFL quarterback. He was generationally good as a rookie, and I think that therefore the expectation is you're a generational quarterback. We'll see. There's been plenty of good rookies or good 1 year, one, two offs. It's the consistency that makes you Brady.
You know when
Manning.
It started to go south for CJ Stroud? When he gave that little speech to Caleb Williams?
You didn't like that.
I didn't like that. I thought that you didn't like it either. I thought that was pretty corny. And I feel like he hasn't been playing as well since.
But didn't he do it to Drake May too?
Did he give May a little speech?
I think he did.
I don't know about that.
I think they caught him doing it to May.
Okay.
Is it lame and corny if it's real?
Yes.
Wait, what?
You can be real and also be lame and corny.
He's trying to big bro him.
Isn't that authentic?
Yeah, isn't but you can cool? be authentically corny.
Yeah, but it's less of a bad thing, I feel like, if that's who you are. We always tell people to be themselves.
Sure.
So if he's being himself.
Yeah. Some people are corny when they're themselves.
Yeah, but. I mean, being corny, not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not.
Not the best.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't want
what?
To be corny. I want people
is
to be
corny
like,
really that bad?
You know, that
it's
guy.
It's called corny is corny.
Yeah, corny's corny.
Yeah, so it's not really bad.
It's not good. Who says oh,
son of a bitch,
that guy's corny. That guy's
had an
awesome.
Argument with my wife.
Well, okay, but when have you ever heard corny in non-pejorative?
What?
When have you ever heard someone describe something as corny and it was good?
Dad jokes.
Dad jokes, corny jar, bad jokes.
I think there are plenty of dads that are corny, but they're good dudes. They're funny. They make me chuckle.
And that's a different shade of corny.
Yeah, that's still corny, though. I mean,
I just gave you an answer to
I'm
your question, and
bad
now you're changing the question. What are you, Roddy Piper?
Corny people aren't necessarily bad people, but they're corny, right? It's corny.
You said it was a bad thing.
Cornball. It's not a good thing. It's not good to be corny. I don't think.
I just told you that corny dads are cool.
Right, but they're not cool because they're corny.
Some of them are.
Elon Musk jumping on stage was corny.
That was corny, although he's probably.
Oh, there's definitely corny that's bad. But there's corny that I think lands in a way that people are embracing it.
I think CJ Stroud's probably a good guy. I'm not saying I think he's a bad guy, but that little speech he gave to Caleb Williams was very, very corny. He looked like a corny dude. I mean, that's all.
That's right? Corny.
Corny.
Not
very
corny. That'd be very different.
He's a corn star. 617-779-7937. We'll wrap things up with odds and ends right after this. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And the number 4. Any odds or ends tonight, Andy?
So the end of the Patriots Tom Brady era obviously petered out. We all recall the Titans, Logan Ryan, Mike Vrabel, that whole thing.
But at that game. That was one of the last games I was in the stands as a fan at.
Didn't have to be that way. You know why it could have been different? Well, Michael Bennett was on the Games with Names podcast with Julian Edelman, and they were talking about, remember when Antonio Brown was a Patriot, and remember when Antonio Brown was on the practice field, and he had that game in Miami, that one special night, or afternoon, I guess.
Yep.
And these two teammates, they have a view on what could have been had Antonio Brown not been kicked out of town.
Antonio Brown was a crazy athlete, even though he didn't practice very much when he was with the Patriots. When he did, though, it was pretty amazing.
Bro, we didn't have a ball touch the ground when Antonio practiced. We had the best week of Remember how crisp that practice was? Because he rose the level of everyone else.
He was so good, man.
He was a monster.
He really is a good player.
He was. Man. We would have won a Super Bowl in 19 if he would have stayed.
Tom tried everything. Tom was just like, come on, man. I'll drive you to work. You know what I mean? Like, do you need a place to live? Like, what do you need? Like, you want my trainer? You want my food? You want to, like, just come to work and do what you're supposed to do. Like,
guy loves wins.
Guy loves to win,
guy
man.
Guy loves to win.
Man.
So had Antonio Brown stayed, they would have won the Super Bowl. That's the belief of Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
You believe it?
Gordon was there too, right, in 2019? I think it was, at one point, it was Edelman, Gordon, Antonio Brown, and Amendola, right? Was it 2019? Was he still there? I mean, that
sounds right.
That's like... That's ridiculous.
I mean, Gordon was a shell of himself.
He was a shell of himself at that point, but
Antonio Brown could still play.
He was still very, very good, yes. And Jacoby Myers, I think, was there at that time. He might have been, didn't they trade for Sanu at some point in that season?
Yeah, he got hurt.
That is that's a murder squad right there. Edelman, Brown, Gordon, whoever. I mean, like, that's a very, very good offense. And it's hard not to think that with a number one target like that, with Edelman and Brown, just the two of them, forget the rest of them, just those two guys getting open and making plays downfield, that would have transformed the offense completely. I 100% agree with that. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's anything other than pie in the sky, because Antonio Brown leaving Pittsburgh, leaving the Raiders, coming here lasting 1 week, and then he's gone from here too. Like, I don't even know what to compare it to. He was like Charlie Sheen, you know, or something. Like, he was just, you had no idea what you were going to get from day to day, from hour to hour. He was completely out of his mind.
That was the weirdest.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone I know.
It does. Week or short term that I ever remember. Because if you remember, Matthew Slater didn't even want him. Matthew Slater made a comment, something to the effect, as a teammate, I'll welcome him into the locker room, but as a man, I don't want him here, or something to that effect. And I was just looking back. So Antonio Brown's Patriots career, 4 catches, 56 yards, 1 touchdown. And they believe had he stayed, they would have won the Super Bowl with him. That's how good he was. Like, you hear that. They're gushing about the week of practice.
I know.
And remember the Patriots put out a photo of AB, like, going way up in the end zone. He was, like, 8 feet off the ground catching a pass. It makes you wonder, like, had he not been an idiot, and by the way, the media played a role, because remember that story came out and they kind of went after him, and that kind of all petered out after he was canned here.
Yeah.
The woman, there was all that crazy.
It was like one of his trainers.
Yes.
He was throwing furniture off his deck.
Yeah, there were like these little things,
stuff,
and it was all just too much.
He like beat up his mover or something,
Do you believe it's real, though? Like, if he had stayed,
they would have won the Super Bowl? No.
So they go from a wild card home loss Brady era over to winning the Super Bowl just because of Antonio Brown?
I think they're maybe in the AFC Championship game.
They would have gone further.
Generally were. I don't know if they win the Super Bowl.
Because Brady's mood would have changed.
Yeah.
Because I think he would have had his guy. I was glad Michael Bennett didn't go so far. He's like, hey, take whatever you need. Take my house, take my trainer. Because, you know, the rumors. And
take my wife, please.
Yeah, take my wife, please. Hey.
Well, didn't seem like it got that far. Although, who knows? Depends on who you believe. That's all the time we have here today. I want to say thanks to Adam Schefter. Thanks to Brian Scalabrine. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock on a Tom E. Curran Thursday. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. Stick around as who we got coming up next. That looks like John Lyons back there.
By God, that's John Lyons music.
It's John Lyons and KJ coming up 6 to 10. They'll have you for the duration of the night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI. It's better over.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.